Welcome to MTSU on the Record. I'm Jenna Logue, and we're coming to you from the campus of Middle Tennessee State University in Murfreesboro, Tennessee. Conservative estimates put the number of species of fungus in the world at about 1.5 million. Dr. Sarah Bergman of the MTSU Department of Biology has been working with graduate student Fernanda Karstedt in the great Sao Paulo region of Brazil, where several new species have been found. We'll find out what it's like to explore areas full of unique vegetation and how one goes about defining a species after a few freshly picked words from MTSUnews.com.
Here are some of the stories now on MTSUnews.com, the university's news and information website. The dean of MTSU's College of Mass Communication told Tennessee's newspaper editors and publishers February 7th that the idea that the newspaper business is dying is a myth. Ken Paulson told the Tennessee Press Association that newspapers must shift in a new direction as younger generations turn to social media and digital devices. The MTSU Department of History is supporting efforts to put a copy of a new book about exceptional Tennessee women in every public high school in the state. Tennessee Women of Vision and Courage includes entries on the first woman in the South to serve on a school board and the woman who established the first bank in the nation owned and operated by women. And the latest edition of MTSU Magazine explores the university's primary role in teacher training reform now sweeping across Tennessee. For MTSU News at any time, go to MTSUnews.com. That's MTSUnews.com.
Dr. Bergman and Fernanda, thank you both for being with us today.
Thank you for having us.
Sarah, why does this type of research appeal to you?
Well, I think since early in my career in biology, I've always been interested in biodiversity. I think that Fernanda and I approach biodiversity in a different way, but it complements one another in the sense that I'm really interested in how evolutionary factors have played a role in creating or generating new species.
And so we're talking about factors like climate and how, say, spores from one piece of vegetation or another are transferred via animals and things like that?
Yeah, that is correct. I mean, that is part of the research, too, looking, too, at ecological factors and how they affect species diversity. I'm interested in both, and ecological as well as evolutionary factors. But when we talk about ecological factors, we do talk about such things as dispersal, also such things as geography and timing. The evolution of these fungi, within the geological context, can determine a lot in terms of the diversity of a particular group of fungi. Mm-hmm. As far as evolution goes, we are looking at such things like gene flow. Looking at the transfer of genetic material between individuals and how that affects sort of population level variation, which in fact can then lead to speciation.
And when you say fungi, most people think mushrooms. Is that what we're talking about?
Yes, in the context, both Fernanda and I we're both specialists who work in particular on fungi that form mushrooms. So,
and how did you become involved in this particular project in Brazil, and how was the project funded?
Well, I became involved in a larger project looking at the diversity of fungi within a group called the Entelomataceae, and this is also the group that Fernanda specializes in. I was working primarily with two collaborators, my former master's advisor at Humboldt State University, who has studied these fungi for over 25 years, and another former graduate student of his, Dr. Tim Baroni, who's also studied these fungi for a number of years. And one of the big issues for these fungi is there's never been a way really, or there's never been sort of a stable classification that deals with the depiction of evolutionary diversity within this group. So what we wanted to do was to look in general at species diversity and look at it in an evolutionary context and come up with a good way or a good classification for these species.
Were you expecting to find entirely new species?
Dave Largent has been working primarily in Australia. Tim has been working in several different, in neotropical regions. They've both worked in temperate regions, and there's always new species to describe. The problem with describing these new species is one of the difficulties has been putting the species in the context even of a genus. Finding, so that we could develop sort of a comprehensive treatise or approach to classifying these species to say this species goes into a particular genus.
That species and phylus and genus and kingdom all being different classifications, groups or families, if you will, of flora and fauna.
Right. So we're looking at like the next higher order classification above the species level.
Okay. Fernanda, how did you become interested in this subject?
In mushroom? Oh, I need to come back to my undergrad when I had a scholarship with monkeys. And in this scholarship, I walking behind mushrooms in the forest. And in this way, I saw a lot of mushrooms. And I tried to find books in Brazil to give name to these mushrooms. But we didn't have any books in Brazil that give us names. And I asked my teacher there, my college teacher, and he told Fe, this is a nice niche, a word, sorry.
Research.
And, a nice research to do, because we don't have almost nobody in Brazil. Like, Brazil is so big, and in that time, had only three people in all Brazil works with mushroom.
Could you describe what it was like examining the mushrooms in Brazil?
Here you go to the forest and see a lot of mushrooms. In Brazil, it's not so simple. You go to the forest, and sometimes we saw a lot of. But usually you see one here and walk more, other there, and they are smaller. Other thing, it's not all the same species. So you can walk away like 1 mile and collect 30 different species and only one mushroom for each one. So this kind of thing is really different from here. I think this is associated with the kind of the forest. Here it's more homogeneous forest. In Brazil, rainforest, it's really more complex about the plant species.
Are they hard to find in the forest under a lot of dense vegetation? I mean, do you really have to search hard?
Some, but after you look, train your eyes, it's not more so hard. But if you are not looking for, you can walk and see nothing. But if you learn or teach your eyes to look to the ground, because when you make hiking, you don't look for ground, you look in front. So you don't look what to have around on soil. So I think this is the difference. Prepare yourself to look for this or no.
We'll be back with more in just a moment. This is MTSU on the Record.
MTSU's Jewish and Holocaust Studies minor offers undergraduate students a chance to study the culture and religion of the Jewish people and the Holocaust in an interdisciplinary program. Studies include history and culture, theology and philosophy, and the arts and social sciences. Courses tackle vital topics central to local and global awareness, including multiculturalism and the meanings of diversity, religious tolerance, and genocide. For the latest MTSU news and information, go to mtsunews.com.
We're talking about research being conducted by Dr. Sarah Bergman of the MTSU Department of Biology and graduate student Fernanda Karstedt in the great Sao Paulo region of Brazil, where seven new species of fungi have been discovered. Sarah, could you describe what these mushrooms look like on the air, since we're not dealing with a visual medium here?
If you're talking about new species, there's a lot of new species that have been discovered. I think what you're referring to are some species that Faye has recently described in one particular genus referred to as Inocephalus.
And if you were trying to describe what this thing looks like to someone, how would you do that?
You need to know a little bit the morphology about the mushrooms to understand the difference between one and other. But usually they are delicate. Mm-hmm. It's small, like no more than 10 centimeters.
Okay.
Yeah. and don't have any ornamentation, like scales, hairs, or annulus, or some vulva. I don't know if
a vulva is a common term. Typically found, it's a...
Like a sock in the base of this type. Mm-hmm. So nothing this. So character this genus. And I think the most interesting part is when you put this kind of species on microscope, the spores will be cuboid. Like it's an unusual structure or unusual form.
They're shaped like cubes?
Yes.
Wow. So they're actually three-dimensional in nature.
Mm-hmm. And this family is characterized for different kind of spores with angles, like sometimes with 8 angles, sometimes with 9 angles, 10, 12 angles or more. And this characterizes this family. And I am studying this specific group that has cuboid spores. And this group is characterized for small basidioma, small mushrooms, delicate without ornamentations. The mushroom has a cap, a stem, and have gills. I don't know, it's up, down. Yeah, down of the pilus has gills. So this part is there in the gills.
Okay, so that's where the cubes are.
Yeah.
The gills produce billions and billions of spores. Okay, so the reproductive structure in and of itself is just designed for reproduction. So they produce specialized structures that hold the particular spores, and sometimes specialized structure which protect the basidiospores during development and before dispersal. So each mushroom can have hundreds and hundreds of gills. And within on each gill surface, the whole surface of that gill can be covered basically by basidiospores. So one fruiting body can have billions of spores. And the reason that they have to produce so many spores is that they sort of have a very, what we believe to be sort of an inefficient mechanism for dispersal. It's thought that most of these are wind dispersed. All mushrooms produce wind dispersed spores, but the majority of the spores are actually going to land near the parental mushroom. So right next to the parental mushroom. And what you hope is that a few of them will be caught, you know, in the wind, a few of them will be caught, you know, in the area just below the surface of the gills and be transported for long distances.
You also have to be concerned about the mushrooms being food for animals being consumed before these spores have a chance to actually go anywhere?
I don't know that it's of concern because so many mushrooms are going to be produced. So a few of them that are eaten prior to dispersal is probably not going to impact the dispersal strategy for those particular fungi.
Yeah. Now, for all the different species of fungi that there are, how do you differentiate between those with unique stems and unique caps?
We need to come back to the literature and compare all characters. It's not only this type or only the pilus. We need to consider the variations that occurs according to the environment, like it's raining a lot, if it's dry, that's make a little change in the Basidium, the mushrooms also. And we listed these characters, like all details, like what color is the pilus, if we can see the gills of the pilus or not, what kind of gills have, what color these structures have, if have some differentiation, like some papilla or some umbo, that is, do you know what is umbo, papilla? It's like a elevation, conic elevation in the pilus, if it's a rounded elevation. It's okay. A small
rounded, the difference between whether it's rounded or it comes up to a point.
Yes. So it's small characters that when you put all together, including microscope characters like spore shape, in this case, cuboid.
Spore size.
Mm-hmm. Spore size. Have a lot of other characters. Mushrooms produce some structure that is a little bit differentiated in the gills that we use these characters also to make the identification. So some produce some structure that is really different from others. So combining these characters with, this is not exactly as the other. And now with the molecular stuff, we also can comprove this with the DNA sequence. Like, oh, this looks the same species but has some variation. And the DNA can prove if is or not the same species. Mm-hmm. So we using both morphological characters, mm-hmm. macro, that we can see with our eyes, mm-hmm. characters that we use, can see in microscope, and now the molecular characters.
Fernanda, why do you think that there were so many gaps in the academic literature with regard to this subject in your country? Is it because the forests are very hard to navigate?
I think mainly because don't have a lot of incentive.
Mm. Incentive, yeah. Incentive, motivation.
Like motivation for this. During the history, and in the last 10 years this started to happen, and now we have an improvement in Brazil with fungi, like a people that is studying mushrooms. Like 10 years ago was 3, now we have 10. That is really good for Brazil, and we have work for more than 10 people there to work with mushrooms. So I think it's and it's always easier and I think cheap work with groups that everybody knows and wants to know more, like plants and animals. The history in Brazil, we don't eat mushrooms, like it's not our culture, so a lot of people don't know what is mushroom. They only know champignon, that mushroom that's that mushroom that we eat in the pizza.
Uh-huh.
Oh, yes, I work with that kind of thing.
We'll be back with more on MTSU on the Record right after this.
The Tennessee Employment Relations Research Association, or TERRA, gives labor relations specialists and academics a chance to share their views and their data. TERRA wants academics and other interested in human resources and industrial relations to work together at meetings and conferences to strengthen the workplace. Many MTSU faculty belong to TERRA, which has members in 20 states and 7 nations. For all the latest MTSU news and information, go to mtsunews.com.
We're back with Dr. Sarah Bergman of the Department of Biology and graduate student Fernanda Karstedt. Why is it important, Sarah, to study mushrooms? What is the significance of the research?
It's important at every level to document biodiversity, and fungi play a very crucial role in the ecosystem. Fungi are the major decomposers, which means that, you know, without fungi, we would basically be existing in a large compost pile. They also form the mutualisms. They form mutualistic relationships between all the plants, so it turns out the plants actually can't survive without the fungi. The fungi are there to really direct all the nutrients for the plants, and in return they receive carbohydrate, you know, or a source of carbon that they can utilize in order to survive. People will tell you too that there's a lot of fungi that are used in, for example, pharmaceuticals. Many of these fungi have been harvested from places like Fernanda's talking about, especially in some of these rainforests where they find particular fungi that turn out to, you know, have pharmaceutical value, and a lot of them are used, you know, quite commonly in drugs today. So the preservation of this form of biodiversity, I think, is important just for scientific knowledge and understanding, but it's also important in a context for our society.
What other parts of the world might be important areas for fungi research besides Brazil?
Asia. There's a very diverse population of fungi, I think, that's largely been unexplored in Asia. This would also be true of Africa. And I think, you know, even in other parts of, you know, south of the equator, there's a lot of people now doing significant amount of research in Australia. But, you know, Australia, again, you know, they're just starting to show that there's a large number of species, the majority of which have not been documented until a specialist goes in there and starts looking at particular groups of fungi.
Are there any political aspects that might make it difficult, like, say, in the People's Republic of China, for example?
Absolutely. You have to have permits from the government to collect there. You also have to have the permits to export. I mean, you might be able to collect, but you may not be able to export the specimens for study unless you have specialized permits. I know people who have tried to collect in Indonesia. They had permits for the collection, but they weren't able to get the collections out of the country due to other complications. So it's really important that you set up a collaboration, especially with another person who may or may not be, who is interested in this, you know, in the same process, who may not be working on the group, usually at a university, and they can help you expedite that process, and in the expedite the process of obtaining, you know, the proper forms and the proper signatures for exporting the particular specimens.
We'll be back in just a moment. This is MTSU on the Record.
The Concrete Industry Management Program at MTSU fills the need for trained personnel who know concrete technology and techniques. Our alumni go into the marketplace grounded in basic math and science and able to promote products or services related to the industry. Our participation in the Academic Common Market ensures talented students in other states a chance to enroll on an in-state tuition basis. This is Dr. Heather Brown, Director of the program.
To find out more information on this or other university programs, visit mtsunews.com.
We're talking with Dr. Sarah Bergman and Fernanda Karstedt about research into fungi and new species of fungi in the Great Sao Paulo region of Brazil. Could the two of you talk a little bit about the protege-mentor relationship? Because as you've been talking to me so far, it almost seems like each of you is teaching the other as opposed to it being a top-down relationship. Talk a little bit about what that's been like.
When Fernanda came to me with a proposal, what it meant at that point in her career, she had already really established herself as somebody who understood all the characters for identifying and describing new species within the Entelomatacea. So this is very unique because even with the skill set, even with the time that I've spent working on the Entelomatacea, I haven't spent necessarily the time or the investment as my collaborators and Fernanda have in terms of describing new species. So what I brought to the table instead was Fernanda came with all this knowledge of now how to describe new species. She knew how to describe them and to put the species into a genus based on morphology and depending on whose concept it was and things like that. I knew how to look at them in an evolutionary context and to see if these classification schemes that she and others had been working on when they described new species within a genus or a higher level classification, mm-hmm. whether those classifications made sense when we put them into an evolutionary context. And so that's what we've been collaborating on as a particular group. So in general, I find most students, it's usually a top-down approach. You know, we start with more training and sort of we build on that with a larger proposal. With Fernanda, she comes in with it with already a general knowledge of this, and all she has to do for her project and add to her skill set is to learn how to do those molecular analyses and evolution. And I must admit, you know, having never met Fernanda, to be honest, before she came here, I didn't really know how it would work out. But she is very enthusiastic, and she has this true passion. And when you start talking about mushrooms, and especially mushrooms that she works on, you know, her eyes light up, and her voice obviously displays a lot of enthusiasm. But what it has done for me is to make my job easier. I guess in a context, the difference between being a mentor to Fernanda is that it doesn't require me to motivate her on any level. She's right. Already very motivated.
Fernanda, what do you want to do with your career when you get your degree?
I really hope get a job in an university and teach and do research, but we don't know. After I defend my PhD, I will start to look for a job.
Would you say that you're more teaching-oriented or more research-oriented, or is it 50-50?
I think 50-50. I like to teach. I like to see other person, listen to questions, and, oh, okay, I can teach you this. Oh, this, I don't have any idea. I need to sit and study. I think this is cool.
We'll take one more break. We'll be right back. This is MTSU on the Record.
The MTSU Department of Art has the newest facility for visual arts in the state with approximately 50,000 square feet of space, including high-tech computers and computer-driven equipment for multimedia, graphic design, printmaking, sculpture, painting, and ceramics. We feature a visiting artist lecture program and an exhibition program that exposes students to work by national and international artists. This is Jean Nagy, Chair of the Department of Art.
To find out more, visit mtsunews.com.
In our final moments with Dr. Sarah Bergman and Fernanda Karstedt, will you be going back to Brazil? Will there be more trips, more explorations of fungi?
For this project, no. I am in the end. So now it's finished to get the DNA date, process everything, write the paper, and defend my PhD, because this is part of my PhD.
And Sarah, what about you insofar as your own personal academic research is concerned?
Well, you know, to do research in Brazil requires funding. So, of course, I think in the right context and the right collaboration, you know, we're still trying to get money from the National Science Foundation to fund this project. But without funds that really will incorporate travel, it's very difficult to do. It doesn't mean that Fernanda and I can't collaborate, but she, you know, in the context, she can actually, you know, do collection when she has an once she has an academic position, she gets to decide, you know, how much time or how much resources she will be doing in research. And so there's a potential for, you know, collaborations. There's so many fungi within this group. The group itself has about 1,500 species described, and so we've only touched the surface. So there's a potential for larger collaborations in terms of looking at the evolutionary context of the bigger picture. It's just a question of funding and how we'll support that in the future.
They say it's publish or perish in academia. How much does it mean to the two of you to be part of the academic literature?
Well, it's very important to me. I think not just for the numbers of publications, but, you know, for the interest and excitement that the research generates. And yes, the publications are definitely necessary step, because if you don't disseminate the information or get the information out there, it never existed. I mean, you know, that's a general quote. So yes, I think it is very important to publish. Of course, our academic careers are depending on whether we publish, but it's also good to be recognized within a context, or recognized specifically in the mycological community for the research that you do. And a lot of the times for me, that's where the excitement comes in. You know, you get to go to meetings, you interact with your collaborators, you read their papers, they read your papers. You're excited about the general process and the process of discovery, because you're all interested in sort of a common goal and the interest in fungi.
Well, scientific research is an area that I know that the upper echelon at MTSU want to expand in the near future, and we have a multi-million-dollar science building being constructed as evidence of that. So I hope that in the future you have more opportunities to expand on your research and to contribute to the body of knowledge.
Agreed. What we hope, you know, too, is that the science building, we hope to be able to attract, you know, more students who are, you know, interested in science in general, you know, expand a little bit of the master's program, you know, maybe outside of just the regional area, but to, you know, within or outside of the state, but within the regional area, to attract good students here. And of course, we always hope that people who are interested in ecological and evolutionary questions will be able to expand their research program, but it will require a significant source of effort on our part to come up with the funding for this.
Dr. Sarah Bergman and Fernanda Karstedt, thank you for being with us today.
Okay. Thank you very much for inviting
Thank you.
Us.
Thanks a lot.
MTSU On the Record, a news and information program about Middle Tennessee State University, is produced by the university's Marketing and Communications Office, which is solely responsible for its content. Read more about MTSU at our website, mtsunews.com. Podcasts of this program are available at mtsunews.com and on iTunes.